Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, January 7th, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her sermon today is Choosing Which King to Honor. The Old Testament reading is from Psalm chapter 72, verse 1 through 7 and 10 through 14. Our gospel lesson is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 18.
Our first reading comes from the Psalms. It's Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7 and 10 through 14. Listen to how the king is described. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound, until the moon is no more. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Our New Testament text comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so I can also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. Please join me in a word of prayer. O God of wisdom, we are seeking you like the Magi of old. We long to know you and to recognize you in our confusing world. Guide us by the light of your star so that we might learn, grow, and be changed by our worship to you this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and Redeemer. Amen. There's a song we sing at Christmas. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Today is Epiphany Sunday, and the day where we celebrate the arrival of the Magi who come to visit Jesus. On the front cover of your bulletin, we have the three kings, and we even have three camels, and we have the star. Sometimes in a nativity scene, they're the ones who are most elaborately dressed. Maybe they get the nicest colors and clothes. Sometimes they even have crowns on their heads. But here's the thing, we've been misled by the song, because if we look back closely at the scriptures, are they kings? No, they're not kings. So they're actually called the Magi, which means the wise men, and they're more like astrologers who studied the skies and looked for meaning. They claimed supernatural power and wisdom. And although often they were part of a royal court or a royal entourage, because the king or ruler might want some mystical fortune tellers, they themselves were not kings. Also, there were not necessarily three of them. We came to that because we get three kinds of gifts shared, gold and frankincense and myrrh, but the number of the actual visitors isn't mentioned. Huh? It could have been five, and one could have had frankincense and gold, and the other one could have had myrrh and frankincense. We don't know these things. Huh? Or diapers or bread. Yeah, the things that might really be helpful, right? And yeah. So they're kind of mysterious. But these are not the kings that we're supposed to be following. They're seeking a king. And they're seeking royalty. Specifically, they're seeking the king of the Jews. And so they journeyed to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a large city then, as it is now. It's where the Jewish temple is. And so the logical, predictable place to find the next king of the Jews would be in the center of where the Jewish power was. And they managed to find someone, Herod. Herod's title at the time was the King of Judea. He was a practicing Jew, not, and though he wasn't a Jew through his birth lineage as much, his family had converted a generation before. Herod the Great is a recognizable king attested to not only in the Bible, but by other historical sources of the time. He ruled from 37 BCE to 4 BCE. And Herod was a powerful king. His name was on the coins of the realm. He collaborated with powers in Rome to keep his position. He negotiated with Alexander the Great and with Cleopatra. And he built grand projects. If any of you have traveled or even seen pictures of the Holy Land, many people go to Masada. It's this huge fortress on the top overlooking the Dead Sea. He built that in his reign. He also built an entire port city of Caesarea Maritima. And, being a practicing Jew, he also worked to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. So he kind of sounds like a king of Judea. Certainly he's recognizable as one. But here's what kind of king he is. He's the kind of king who does anything and everything he can do to stay in power. Let me curry a little bit of political favor with the Jews by building up their temple. That's important. Let me be friends to people in power, like Rome. If they need a few gifts and a little financial support, I can help with that. Oh, maybe my sons are getting a little too eyeball about their own power. He had them killed. Now, what is my wife doing? I'm not sure if she's entirely loyal to me either. I'll have her killed too. He's a king who sought and succeeded in staying on the throne. But at the time that the wise men come, Herod's at the end of his reign. Herod's an old man. And the Magi come seeking who's going to be the next king. Presumably, if you were Herod, you would assume that the next king would be one of your own sons, or at least somebody that you have protected or were grooming to be in leadership. But the Magi and the other scholars point instead not to anybody in the city of Jerusalem, but into this small town outside called Bethlehem. And so Herod, looking to preserve the power of his own line, already starts to plot the death of this next king. And then when those wise men do not return with the detailed information, Herod goes ahead and orders all the baby boys in Bethlehem to be killed. Jesus arrives into the world, and death happens. Now, it may have not been a widespread massacre, given how small the population of Bethlehem is, but even so, even if it were 10 or 12 families, how devastating. These innocents were faced with brutality and tragedy that was of no cause of their own. And it didn't happen because of Jesus, that Jesus came into the world. It happened because of power. For Herod's reign as king was Herod's in it for Herod over anybody or anything else. Innocent children, his own family members, the welfare of the people. So Herod is not the king to be following either. Certainly not according to the Psalms and the prophets. We looked at Psalm 72 this morning. And the king of the Jews, as praised in Psalm 72, is a king who delivers the needy when they call, who helps the poor and those who have no helper, who lifts those in oppression and in violence and redeems their life. So Herod is also not the king to follow. And the three wise men are not the kings to follow. The gospel writer Matthew makes it clear that Jesus is the king and the one to obey. For we hear that the wise men who are seeking the king of the Jews, when they find baby Jesus, they are overjoyed. And then when they find this king, they pay him homage. When do you use the word homage in any everyday language? We really don't, right? You pay somebody homage? Homage of mothers. Yes. It's kind of a weird term, but they bowed down, they worshiped him. Perhaps they took a knee and kneeled down at his feet. And so these wise men are the very first to recognize and worship Jesus as the king. And Jesus as the king and the kingdom of God continues to be a theme through all the rest of the Gospel of Matthew. It's the Gospel of Matthew where we get, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And many of the parables will say, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And at the very climax of the Gospel, when Jesus is crucified on a cross, he's hung wearing a crown. Not a crown of gold, but a crown of thorns. He's not on a throne, but on a cross. And he was hung under a sign. And the sign says, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." So Jesus is the king to be following. But Jesus being king is a completely different kind of power than what Herod's power is. For while kings like Herod kill innocents to maintain their own selfish interests, Jesus instead offers up himself as a sacrifice to save humanity. Where Herod rules by fear and intimidation and strength and might, Jesus rules by love. Herod rules by building palaces on monuments. Jesus rules by building up relationships and communities. And so when we sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king," we're singing for Jesus the king. But a king who's going to bring peace, welcome for all, forgiveness for all. And so to pay this king homage is then to follow this king's way of ruling, to be led by his example, which is serving the poor, feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, to be servants and to offer ourselves in self-sacrificial ways, and to be building Christ's kingdom where love is the primary goal, not power. And so I asked David if we could sing this one song that we've done here at 9 o'clock, "The Servant King." And I'm wondering if that'll help sort of end my sermon and this part, to be able to say that yes, Jesus is the king, but he's not the king to rule for his own self-interest. He's the king who rules out of service and out of love, giving himself up for us.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.